Next up on the program, aging in place is a big deal right now. As the baby boomers enter their retirements, most people report the desire to stay at home as they age. It sounds great, but the devil is always in the details. It's easy if you live in a suitable home in a walkable community close to friends, family, healthcare, and social services. But that's not always the case, especially in the rural areas of our region. An organization based in the Rogue Valley called Age Friendly Innovators seeks to provide resources to seniors and their families. We have two guests today from Age Friendly Innovators, Executive Director Sharon Johnson. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
And Deputy Director Howard Johnson.
Morning, John.
Thanks for being with us this morning. So very briefly, what are your backgrounds and what led you to create this organization? Sharon, let's start with you.
Okay. My background is public service, academia. I retired from Oregon State with an emphasis area in gerontology about 4 years ago. And at that point in time, wanted to do something, active retirement, and we looked around, looked at the data, and found that the aging in place issues, people wanting, getting older, more of them, wanting to live at home, stay at home, and do it safely, interested both of us. So we launched the nonprofit with that in mind.
And to add to what Sharon said, first of all, both our parents, our mothers fell late in life, and it was fairly tragic. And we got to thinking, you know, if we maybe there's something we should be doing there. And so the long and the short is we started Age Friendly Innovators with a mission to really help low income, particularly older adults and people with disabilities, stay in their homes. And that involves a whole series of things, but basically, you know, we looked at the data, the baby boomers, and we saw this is really a problem that's just beginning. At one point, there was some data that said every, what was it now? I'm forgetting. Every day, 10,000 people turn 65, and that's going to keep happening for the next like 20 years or something. So, you know, from a marketing perspective, I had a little marketing background, I said, wow, this market's just going to grow like hell. Well, that's true, but for a lot of these people, particularly ones in rural areas, low incomes, they want to stay there, but something has to change.
Mm-hmm. So aging in place is one of those phrases that we hear a lot now, and it sounds totally agreeable. Yeah. And someone who is maybe in their 40s, and when they hear aging in place, they probably think, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. And they just assume I'm just going to stay living in my house. But it's not really that easy, is it? What specifically are we talking about when we talk about aging in place?
Well, it starts with the home you live in, and can you stay in that if you end up in a wheelchair temporarily or permanently? Can you stay there if you have vision difficulties? And so we launched kind of before the nonprofit, we helped build some homes that really allow that, no step entries, no steps throughout the entire house, wheelchair accessible bathrooms, lots of light. It's a concept called lifelong housing, which really is a Rogue Valley centered concept, and hopefully will grow throughout the nation.
The most important tool we use is a tape measure. We go into homes. We also do a fall risk assessment, but in my view, the most important thing is we measure doors. And if you don't have a door that's at least has a 32-inch, what they call clear access opening, you're not going to get a wheelchair through that door. Well, a lot of people have 28-inch doors, 32-inch doors. So that's the first aha. If you want to stay in this home, you got to think about that. If you're going to be in a wheelchair, you may need to widen those doors, and it doesn't come cheap. The other thing that's critically important, people don't think, you know, they, as you said, that they're going to live in their home and everything is going to be fine, except Falls are a game changer for older adults. What's the data?
One out of every four people over age 65 falls in a given year. And every 11 minutes, somebody, older adult, lands in an emergency room because of a fall. Could be a minor fall, but often it's a head injury, a hip fracture, a femur break. These are big deals, game changers.
And most falls occur in the bathroom for older adults. And there are some simple steps and relatively inexpensive steps you can do to reduce that risk. Put in a grab bar, put in a toilet seat riser, things like that, a shower bench, a handheld instead of a big shower bowl, you know, water in your face. But for many older, low-income older adults, including people living in manufactured homes, that sounds really fine, but they don't have the resources to do that, even to put in a grab bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we've developed a program that goes out and does those things.
Our guests this morning on the Jefferson Exchange are Sharon Johnson and Howard Johnson from Age Friendly Innovators. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Are you considering living your old age in your own home yourself, or perhaps you have aging parents and you'd like to keep them in their own homes? You have some questions for these experts on aging in place that you'd like to share with us. 800-838-3760 is our phone. So it sounds like you can go out and actually meet with an individual and say, here are the things that you have to do to your home to effectively age in place.
The way it works, John, we have an assessment process. We get referrals from a lot of agencies in the Valley, Rogue Valley Council of Government, Senior Disability Services, Access, Habitat for Humanity even. We work with all those hospital discharge people, and they say, can you look at into these people's situation? They need help. And so that's what we do. We go into the home and we make those assessments. It doesn't cost anybody anything. It's all covered by our nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. So your website refers also to working with communities. What kind of work are you doing with surrounding the design of communities to help people age in place?
Do you want to?
No, go
okay,
ahead.
Well, community is, you know, I use the term it takes a valley. This is a huge problem. This is a, you know, we talk a lot about low-income housing concerns. This is part of that. If we can help keep those people in their homes longer, it's to keep them off the streets, frankly, in some cases. But we can't do it alone. Access can't do it alone. Habit. So what we're trying to do is build a broader conversation in the community, beyond just the health industry, if you want to call it that, around this whole issue of aging in place and helping low-income seniors and accessibility. Right now, we build wheelchair ramps. We do that in collaboration with Habitat for Humanity. They have volunteers that are, you know, well-schooled in how to build a ADA-compliant wheelchair ramp. And our fund, we have a nonprofit fund that pays for all the materials. But the demand for wheelchair ramps is huge, and we need more help. We need more help from volunteers in the community, maybe corporations that can step up and say, we support that. Here's what we can help you do. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of community, if we do that right, if we build a ramp, an attractive ramp, that lets somebody out of the house to go to the doctor's visit so they don't end up with paramedics at their front door because they didn't make that appointment. Our underlying goal is let's keep people out of those emergency rooms. Let's keep them from returning to the hospital after they've been discharged. Let's improve their activities of daily living, their independent toileting, independent bathing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have situations where you've gone in and done an assessment where somebody really, really wants to stay in their home and you find out, you know what, it's not a good idea? You really should be in assisted living or even in a nursing facility.
Yes, we have. The short answer is yes, we have. Particularly in some very old manufactured homes where the floor has started to rot away. And quite frankly, trying to fix that is worth more than the resources we have, tens of thousands of dollars in some cases, and worth more than the manufactured home. So we talk to them about, you know, do you have family, some other option? And that's about all we can do.
Our guests this morning on The Exchange are Sharon Johnson and Howard Johnson from Age Friendly Innovators. And we're going to take a call here on The Exchange. This is Anthony in Yreka. Good morning, Anthony.
Hi there. I'm calling from Yreka. And I don't know if this is related, but more people stay at home. I'm wondering if there's enough.
You might want to turn your radio down.
I'll keep going. If there's enough opportunities, or I'm 69. For people to get out and enjoy, you know, day trips, you see, you know, the vans picking up people in restaurants and so forth. I'm wondering if it's maybe if there's enough organization around that to get people out socializing, baby boomers, and kind of enjoying, if they stay in their homes, having opportunities to recreate?
That's a great question, Anthony. And the base problem that you're addressing is that being socially connected, reaching out, attending things, going to senior centers, having a church, having a neighbor that you visit with periodically, regularly, is really, really important. And what we find for people as they get older and are in their homes and I have disabilities, they kind of their world gets smaller. And when the world is smaller, then the disability issues, the chronic diseases, can become a greater problem. So there may not be things, we don't know, we don't work in Wyweka, but there may not be things that are there now, but you have the potential to start them. Reach out, connect, ask people the same question you just asked us, and find out how you can get something going that gets more social connectedness.
Aging in Place is the topic this morning. Our number is 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. If you have questions about aging in place for yourself, perhaps you have elderly friends or your parents that you would like to keep in their own homes, we have some people who can tell you at least some of the things to do to make that happen. Now, we live in a very rural area. Obviously, for seniors who maybe have lived their whole lives in a cabin or a farm, a remote home that's miles and miles from the nearest town, that has to pose a real challenge if you want to keep that person in their home.
It obviously does. There are some programs out there. Unfortunately, they're sort of backed up. The U.S. Department of Agriculture actually has a rural development financial assist program to keep people, help people like do modifications to their home. But as I recall, it's like, you know, a 2-year wait list or something. The challenges are many. First of all, how do you get repair people or contractors to come go to Prospect or, you know, some remote area? It's a long, it takes an hour to get there. So the cost of doing those things goes up. Many of the situations we've seen are manufactured homes, not in a manufactured home park necessarily, but on private land where the problems are compounded by the remoteness, plus the fact that over time those aging people have not been able to maintain the exterior, let alone the interior. So you get in a situation, as we did a week or so ago, where somebody needed a ramp, a very long ramp. And, I mean, before we could do the ramp, we have to clear the debris just to be able to make that work. I'll add one thing on another piece of data that I find interesting. In Jackson County, there are 6,500 women over the age of 65 living alone in a home, not in an assisted living or a nursing home, living alone in their own home. Now, that may be a manufactured home, it may be a farmhouse, it may be, but that to me is very telling. They're not all living in the lap of luxury, I can tell you.
So if you were to advise local government agencies about what they can do, I mean, clearly the demographics speak for themselves. We have an aging population. Southern Oregon and Northern California both are popular places for people to come to retire because of the climate, cultural activities. They may enjoy the outdoors. What are some of the things that you would advise governments to do to help them plan for people who are wanting to age in place?
Well, great question. We've done work or communicated in other parts of the state and the area. And in some counties, they have a commission on aging and very active. Clark County up in Washington State invited us up one time to speak there. We need a plan. We need a plan that takes all of this data into consideration and what, you know, we have resources here, there, but somebody has to pull all this stuff together. And then they have to look at the data that says, okay, here's what's going to happen down the road. How do we anticipate that? I don't think we have that yet.
And what we are doing as a small but mighty nonprofit is how we put it, that is modeled basically after a Johns Hopkins University approach, which says assess the situation and then bring in a talent pool of handymen or women who can help do the little things that cost an average of $318 in our experience. Those those are the beginnings. If we could have more recognition that that's the beginning, that's what it takes, that's what we look for. We're also, and Howard, you might want to talk about rebuilding together.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about 3 years, John, and it's grown exponentially. It's gone beyond our capacity to serve the need, frankly, and we've flown under the radar. This is, you know, we've intentionally done that because, you know, there aren't many of us. It's Sharon and I and some handymen and a couple of volunteers and a board. We've been looking at a national organization called Rebuilding Together. They're in, I can't remember how many states, but there are 150, maybe close to 200 affiliates. There's one in Sacramento, there's one in Portland, there's one in Washington County outside of Portland. And we're in discussion with them to become Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. And that will allow us to draw on some national support, bringing in some corporate sponsors that they have at the national level, like Lowe's and Charter and some banks and so on and so forth. So, and probably a broader talent pool of volunteers that can do some of this work. So we think that's the direction we have to go to, you know, kind of meet the future need.
Sharon Johnson and Howard Johnson are with us this morning. They're with Age-Friendly Innovators in the Rogue Valley, and we're talking about aging in place. Maybe that's something that you want to do for yourself, or perhaps you have some aging parents. You want to keep them in your homes. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. So I wanted to offer, you know, my personal story. And I had my parents are both gone now, but mm-hmm. they lived in their own home here in Ashland until they died. And they had everything right. They had a home with no steps. It was in a very densely populated neighborhood. They had support from their church. They had a son in town, me. Their house actually happened to be on my way to work. And I worked for an employer that was very generous and understanding when I had to stop and, you know, care for my aging parents, et cetera. And when it got to the point where they needed somebody to come into the home, my sister has the financial resources to be able to pay for that. So everything was great. And yet it was really, really tough. It was hard on me emotionally. It was hard on my sister because she couldn't be here. She lives, 500 miles away. And it was not all that easy for my parents either, even though it was, in everyone's opinion, better than having them being in an assisted living facility. What kind of resources do you bring to people like me who maybe just need some support in navigating that process on an emotional level?
Right. You speak very eloquently about the experience that we all have. We're not a caregiver now. We have been or we will be. You're right. It's just absolutely difficult, a struggle. It takes a village. It takes a valley. It takes all the people that you can rein into a situation. When we go in to do a fall risk assessment, we can make practical suggestions, but more and more we're making connecting suggestions. Do you know your neighbor? How do you get to the grocery store? What if I called you once a week? What if I found somebody who called you every morning? We can do little and big things to make connection happen.
And we found that there are some entities out there that can provide better counseling than, say, we can. I don't know about ADRC, but there are some resources. And we steer the people to what we think is the most appropriate, counseling, if you will. And then we've found some great literature. So sometimes we give out a book called...
It's called Living a Healthy Life with Chronic Conditions. And it recognizes that diabetes and heart disease and osteoporosis are pretty common. And what can you do? Exercise, better eating, meditation. I mean, it's a package of good ideas.
Do you recommend people as they get to be 60, 65, 70, that they move into a 55-plus community? There are lots of them around Southern Oregon and Northern California.
You know, I wouldn't recommend or not recommend it. Everybody's thought process is different. Some people, you know, want to go to the manor. Some people want to go to assisted living or into a, just a community of age peers, if you will. We live in a development out in Central Point that has a very diverse community, and we like it there. We like the fact that there are young and old alike, but that's our view of how we want to age. We want to stay in the home we have in a very diverse community.
And many people don't have the option. I mean, they can look at what would it cost, what are the places I might move to, and then they look closely and they find out it's way too expensive. And those decisions are painful for people to make, that they have no choice but to age in place. So let's make them safer at home.
Aging in place is the topic. We've got just a couple minutes before the end of the hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, call us at 800-838-3760. You can also reach us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. As you go out and do these assessments in people's homes, what's the biggest misconception people have that you find about aging in place? What's the biggest problem that you see?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You take it.
I'm prompted to say they think that if they got a grab bar that you could stick on the wall of the bathroom, they're going to be just fine. And those,
well, even a suction cup grab
suction bar. Cup grab bars are, I mean, to me, they're the biggest problem. But just the idea that they're not thinking around the corner, you know, thinking about being a caregiver for a disabled spouse in a house that has 24-inch doors or no shower chair in the bathroom. The little things, the little practical things that can make for care receiver and caregiver much easier.
Well, here's one solution that we have trouble getting. It doesn't cost anything to get them to accept: scatter rugs. They just don't want to give up their scatter rug, and yet it's a huge trip hazard.
And how do people get in touch with you if they have questions on aging in place?
You know, they can send an email to you, and you can send it to us. We have a website, www.agefriendlyinnovators.org. I don't know. Do you want to?
Call me up, 541-261-2037, and we try to respond in a week.
We work in the Rogue Valley.
Sharon Johnson and Howard Johnson from Age Friendly Innovators, thanks for joining us this morning on The Exchange. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
John. You're welcome.
John.